And we're live.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 17 of Beyond Retro. I'm Nathan Kennedy, joined here by the usual suspects. We got Tyler Baker, and we have the king of customization, Joe Amato. Guys, how are you doing today?
I like that. You did that pretty good there, Nathan. You just delivered it real good. King of customization. You said it with a little flair, a little pow, a little pizzazz. Because somebody was like, you know, saying last week when they did it, they said they kind of delivered it kind of monotone with not a lot of excitement. So, I don't know. You hit it there pretty good.
That's all on Tyler. That's all Tyler.
I can tell you this, that you can go straight to hell.
Exactly. You know,
go straight to hell. You know, an extra bam, bam, right there. How's that feel? You like that? You like that kind of, you know, excitement and intensity when delivering dialogue there?
That's better. That's the way to do it.
I'll cut her damn rim on.
I don't know. He still sounds a little monotone to me. There was part of me that thought about doing the intro as like Vince McMahon. Because, you know, like back in the early part when he would do like the announcing, he'd be like, rah, 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 welcome everyone. But that would have been terrible.
No, he did fine. I was going to have my mask upside down for this episode, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. And we probably took it a little too far when we get to whatever we're going to discuss, obviously. But
okay, we're talking about Stranger Things season 1 and 2 way after they've been renounced, because Joe decides, I got to watch an episode once a month here, people.
Hey, well, you know what? Here's the thing, as we always say.
When season 3 comes out, I am telling you right now, we are not waiting months after the release just so Joe can be fashionably late.
I like it. I like being late to the party. That's
you be late. Me and Nate are going to be tackling season 3 the minute it comes out. So
exactly.
Well, see, We've waited so long that I'm probably have forgotten most of what happened in season 1.
Well, here, you know, you got to think about it. You got to think about our show anyways. I mean, we're always, you know, talking about stuff from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. So we're talking about stuff from, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Yes. So
also talking about specifically a show that when the iron is hot, that's when we have to strike it.
Why do we have to? We don't have to all the time. That's what makes us unique. We could sit there and wait a little bit.
Wait, you could not have picked a better time to discuss the It remake when it had just come to home video.
That were good, but as for Stranger Things, like I said, it's good. You know, it makes us, like, let it marinate a while. You know, let people let it sink in. Some people might have been absorbing. Then we could do it. It's like, that's good. I like it.
Yeah, and a month then.
Well, anyways, I want to say hello to JSP in the chat room and Iceman Traveler. They're both in the chat room.
He still looks like he wants to say something. He's so angry right now.
Yeah, oh, I know. And also, I want to say hello.
He's all monotone and angry.
Yeah, calm down, Hulkamania. Well, anyways, and also Jake Juggalo is in the chat room, so thank you for joining us. So we have a few people here in the chat room. There's more watching, but these are the people that have spoke up so far. So, you know, thank you for joining us for this episode. And, yeah, I'm sure, we'll get into it, you know, of course, for Stranger Things here. And this Sunday, me and Tyler will probably go on a crazy barrage for the Sunday when we have another topic we'll be discussing on Fans of Power. That's another podcast. Yeah, that's another podcast. That's another thing. But this time,
are we going to do Hangman on this episode?
Hell, if you got one, we could do that. We could do a crazy little pop culture thing. If you have something at the spur of the moment, we could do middle of the show.
There's a notepad over here. Maybe towards the end, we can do some Hangman and make Tyler angry again.
Oh yeah, that was a classic one. That Hangman. I forget. Yeah, it's something that it can always stay consistent. It's always good trying to stump somebody on whether it's an old movie, an old character.
Here with all this bullshit going on right now.
Yeah, he's gonna light his place on fire.
Yeah,
I guess so. Also, I want to say hello to Tamara Shipper. She's in the chat room, and I hope I said your name right. I'm not used to saying her name. I'm used to just saying Jake's girlfriend, because that's Jake Juggalo's girlfriend. I always called her Jake's girlfriend. Never seen her by her real name, but
I laughed at Joe, you know, running around outside in his underwear like prior to Christmas and asking kids, hey kids, I got candy in my house. Can you kids
frightening poor children that are on Santa? Find out they're not crying because they're on Santa Claus. They're crying because they see a lunatic in a mask with a camera. Look at us. Hey, everybody, look at this live. Look, what the hell is this guy doing? So
pedophile, and you get tackled by a bunch of parents.
Like, I'm just doing a podcast. It's like, this guy was trying to videotape our children. It's like, no, man, I was trying to get the parade on this live. But, all right, well, Well, Tyler, Nathan, whoever wants to start it off, you go ahead and we'll just dig into this because it's always fun. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, before we start to dig into it, I just want to mention that it was interesting. The post that you made on Facebook before the episode last week got quite a bit of attention. And I was honestly a little surprised by the reactions. There was a lot of hate towards the remake, which I guess I understand from the standpoint of, you know, it's a remake and everything. But it was just, it was surprising to me because when it came out, word of mouth from everyone that I was around was all positive. So it was interesting to see that many people that were kind of totally against it.
I agree with you. It was a mixed bag. I mean, I made that post about it, you know, and said we're going to be discussing, you know, obviously the one from the 80s and then the current one from 2017. And you're right. There was a mix of kind of hate, but then there was love. There were some people that said they didn't think they were going to like it. Then they came around to love the new it. And then there was others that said, no, I just still can't stand the new it. And I mean, I don't know. I guess it's everybody's preference. I mean, some people, you know, they're really used to, obviously, you know, Tim Curry, his, you know, yeah, interpretation of Pennywise. And they liked that more and thought this one was a little over the top. But I mean, I didn't see an issue. I love them both. It's like we said when we were doing the show, I loved them. But I mean, hell, it did amazing at the box office. I can't believe how great it did. But
yeah,
like I said, I guess you can't please everybody. There's gonna be some people who just completely hate something, love something. I mean, hell, there was even some people after seeing the new it said, I don't even want to see the old it. So you got a mixed bag. But you're right, I mean, there was kind of a lot of hate.
It was interesting. It was like just some of them were just flat out like, no, I hated it. And I was like, whoa, okay. And some that were like, no, I don't want to do like part two ever because part one, they just hated it that much. They're not even going to give the second part a shot.
It's where some even said they didn't even really, I think some were only going by previews and maybe a little bit. And they said, oh, I was done. I was like, no, you got to watch the whole movie to give an actual impression. Like, that's the one thing that I've never really flipped over is when somebody will give their opinion on a movie that they did, you know, they didn't even watch. It's like, well, you can't tell me an opinion if you haven't watched this whole movie. You
yes,
haven't.
I can't tell you.
Oh, shut up. Not you.
It was going to suck big donkey balls.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
You have to see it to know that.
Yeah, but what I mean is, like, for people for it, there's a lot of people said, it was garbage. And I was like, you see it? Okay. No, but I've seen the preview.
Just for argument's sake, for those pricks out there who want to abide by saying they wanted to, you know, that mentality, where you can't knock a movie unless you've seen it. I mean, I haven't seen Batman versus Superman. I've refused to see Justice League. I didn't see Ghostbusters. They're all three movies that once I found out whatever, I was, you know, things I was, like, quite certain was going to happen come to fruition, then come to find out that he did even more harmful stuff to those properties. Nathan has seen Batman vs. Superman confirmed it sucked, you know.
Well, hang on. I still haven't finished it. I've tried to watch it three times.
Okay, well, even more to that, you know, and I, for a lot, yeah, you know, Nathan, we trust our viewpoints on this stuff. Joe has seen Ghostbusters, and yes, he said it was awful, you know, and then everyone.
Well, that's whatever, with me. I like at least. No, it's true. Sometimes you can see a movie and you can pretty much by looking at it see, yes, this might be garbage. But I, at least if I'm ever going to get in a debate with somebody, I want to make sure I've seen it to say why I didn't like it or why I did like it. But I don't like when somebody will go into a big, you know, a big argument.
What constitutes is a film that, because, let's say one of us runs into somebody who is a diehard fan of this current DC run of films, or God forbid, someone who loves that new Ghostbusters movie that came out, and they're taken as you can't argue with me about it until you've seen it.
Well, no, this is what I mean. See, when I go into a debate with somebody, I want to make sure that I at least know what I'm talking about, because they might say, "Well, did you know this and that?" And I've seen this, and they talk about every little viewpoint, and when I'm just going by saying, well, "I've seen the preview, it looks stupid." It's like, I don't want to do that. If I don't like the movie, let's say, or the what it looks like, and somebody is praising it, I won't jump in and say, that movie sucked. I'll just leave the argument. I'll leave it alone. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to see this movie, but I'm not going to engage in an argument with somebody when I don't know what the hell the movie was about. So that's why if I've seen the movie, sure, I'll engage. But if I still hate something by looking at a preview, I have every right to say, you know what, that movie looks stupid. I don't want to see it. But I'm not going to jump into a debate with people about the movie when I didn't see it. So that's why when they want to discuss it, I'm just out. I'm like, I'm not going to talk about it because I have nothing to say about it. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, but, no, that makes total sense. I know Tyler's the 180 of that. He's gonna be like, it sucks. I'm gonna tell you why that you shouldn't go see it at all.
Well, no,
and then
I mean,
when they do see it, you're stupid. Yeah,
like the Transformer films, I know damn well Nathan has not seen any of them except maybe the first one.
I saw the first
one. Yes. Okay.
And that was Nathan, enough.
Yes, and it was a safe bet that when the sequel came out, that even Michael Bay himself has come out and said, it's almost like somebody had twisted his arm, probably to say it, but that was not one of his proudest films either.
Hey, Tyler liked the first movie. He bought it on DVD.
For the special effects, and then I got rid of it. It's been out of my collection for years.
Well, here, because, Tyler.
This, I will say this. I really wanted to believe that first Transformers film was not what it was. So I went and saw it again. And I was like, oh my God, it's nothing but military stuff and pot jokes and a bimbo blonde girl thinking a Transformer was a tooth fairy and all this other stupid horse shit and Michael Bay's erection for the military. Instead of making a movie about talking robots and fighting, he just wants to talk about, hey, look, it's the military. It's the military. Oh, look, it's Josh Duhamel. This is wicked.
Well, this is what I mean, Tyler. Just think about this for an example. No, listen, real quick. Just think of this for the example. Okay, picture the people that you love the 87 Masters of the Universe movie more than, like, anybody. You love that movie to death. And yes. You know you've seen people that will come into chat rooms and say, the 87 movie sucked. And then some people say, did you see it? No, but I know it was on Earth, so it's crap. Wouldn't that piss you off knowing they're immediately judging the 87 movie, not seeing it, but just saying, it's on Earth, it's garbage, and there's no battle cat I hear. Wouldn't that piss you off knowing they're trying to debate you when they know nothing about that damn movie?
It has. I've seen it before.
See?
Given the opportunity face-to-face with any of these people, I will feed upon them, okay? I'll just put it that way.
But would because it piss you off?
Well, it pissed me off because it's like, well, not in the sense that they're part of the crowd and wants to, like, the cool thing to do is to slam this particular film. Like this jerk off from the toys that made us, but they're picking the same statements. Like if they had something to bring to the table of why they chose not to see it, outside of there's no Bortle Cat, Orko and Battle Cat, and it took place on Earth. If you come to the table with something other than that, or well, my friend said there was no transformation sequence in it. You know,
well, that's what I mean. Listen to all the things you're saying. That's why some people are hating. And doesn't that annoy the hell out of you that they're judging the damn movie by those viewpoints and not enjoying the movie?
Damn it, Joe. Let me talk here. They're judging it based on the cliche statements. They're not giving me their own personal, because that's what that is. That is copying what all these other idiots and morons and various forms of social media have just gotten the lazy idea of like, oh, yeah, I come across this commercial or a scene from the live-action movie in 87. It was stupid. Yeah, didn't like it either, you know.
But wouldn't you rather they have a good opinion if they actually watched it? Wouldn't you think that would be a better debate if they watched the movie and then they honestly told you, this is why I hated it?
Well, I'm open to interpretation if people – all right, look, I have said it on the Fans of Power podcast plenty of times. If you don't like it, okay, that's fine. But come to me with reasons other than what you saw other people put on various forums and Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. And anytime someone posts something about the live action movie and everybody's got to come out and say, oh, the movie's stupid, man. It took place on Earth, man. Deep here. You know, it's come up with something a little bit more creative, like something that you actually have to say about it, as opposed to trying to have the secret handshake and say that you're part of the cool crowd because you're slamming the movie like all these other uninformed idiots are too. You know, give me an original reason why you don't like that movie, and I can respect you for that. You know, no, I can't make everybody like that film, but I do not respect those who want to come up with the exact same thing. Go ahead. Anybody listening to this, Nathan, Joe, go on YouTube, go on social media anywhere, and do a search for the live action movie on YouTube. You'll find an assortment of people who want to sit there and slam it for the same, you know, very small group of reasons, you know, and you feel like, is anybody actually watching it? Or does everyone just like to copy each other on this? You know,
that's what I said. These people aren't actually watching it, and which can be said.
And you know, when I chose not to see the rest of the Transformers films, and I love the original Transformers, and I didn't need to see two, aside from my brother seeing it, and says, God, it was awful. And the things he told me is about that were in it, like, you know, Devastator having balls, you know, and Skidmark and Mudflap being, you know, just the most ridiculous, you know, Transformers to, you know, speak like they're from the ghetto or something like that. You know, just something offensive and silly and just makes no damn sense. But aside from that, I mean, like, this is what Michael Bay wants to do with Transformers. He wants to make, you know, a lot of juvenile jokes with the human characters and make them the focal point. And every, you know, 30 minutes or so, we have a Transformer walk by and we have a brief fight and you can't tell what the hell's going on. You know, I get that. That's what they're going with this. Yes, they made a lot of money doing that format. I'm in the minority on that one. But I didn't need to see the rest of this film to know that this is what the rest of these films are going to be like. With Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch to Shia LaBeouf, they're all going to be the same thing. You know, Michael Bay's erection for the military, you know, the Transformers take a back seat to all the human actors so they can tell pot jokes and stupid shit like that. So I'm really getting off on a real tangent here. I'm getting to that point. I don't even know what the hell I'm going with this.
What are we talking about, Nathan? I forgot. What's going on? Were we talking about G.I. Joe? Is that the topic for today? I got a little confused.
Yeah. Today's podcast is about G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra and G.I. Joe Retaliation.
There with me with the night we saw that piece of shit.
Well, let's not start. We'll go on another tangent. So before we get into another one of those, Nathan, you better get us back on track and you better flow right into the show what we're doing.
Walked out of the theater in my life, angrier than that day when I fist fight somebody. I swear to God, when we left the theater, like Nathan and Keith are both laughing at me during the film, like quietly, because they see the look on my face of pure disgust as I'm just sitting there.
That was part of the fun. That's part of the fun is when you can drag Tyler to a shitty movie and you know it's going to be bad and you just watch him do that. What he's doing right there while he's watching it, he's playing with his head and he's groaning and he's like, ugh, getting all upset about it. And then when it's over, he just explodes about all of this in the movie and you can't help but just sit there and laugh.
Nathan doesn't even care. Nathan's like, hey, Tyler, you want to go see this movie? And Nathan's only doing it because he knows, oh, man, I get to see Tyler lose his shit after the movie. That's his enjoyment.
For the most part, I would go if I knew Nathan could make it fun for me. Like when we went to go see Ghost Rider, because we had this idea we were going to do a movie reviews on MySpace back in the day. Ghost Rider was going to be, or no, Smoking Aces. That was the first one we were going to do.
But it wasn't on MySpace. There was like some blog that we were going to do.
Well, I remember MySpace was popular at the time. I think that's what I was going to do. Anyway, we made an agreement that if we can't sit through this film, one of us can't sit through it, then we have to agree to get up and leave. So I think we got maybe 40 minutes in. I turned and I said, I got to get out of here, man. It's like, no, man. No, wait. Oh, it's great, man. This is great. And I swear it was maybe less than 10 minutes. It's, all right, let's get the hell out of here. And he was stone cold serious when he said it too. He's like, even because the minute I threw in the towel, Nathan's like, oh, this is great, man. I can't wait to see how pissed off he gets. And Nathan said, I can't do this shit.
Yeah. You know? I mean, at a certain point, you just got to throw in the towel. But
yeah. If Nathan was not there for a lot of, like Alien versus Predator, when we saw that abomination, I don't think I'd have made it through it. When, you know, and all Nathan did was make fart noises when the alien queen is hatching eggs. But it was the only thing that could get me to relax at this film that has done everything it could to destroy, you know, two of my particular most treasured film property. You know, just by when the alien queen's hatching eggs, Nathan's sitting there going, and I'm like, ah! You know, just,
well, let's give a shout out to Jackie Miller in the chat room and also Iceman. Yeah, Iceman Traveler, he had a good comment in the chat room, kind of towards Tyler, and referencing last week, he said, Tyler telling people not to watch bad movies, but that motherfucker likes Prince!
This motherfucker does like Prince, and proudly so. I have several Prince songs on my iPod. So
oh, Jesus.
But only one Simply Red song on his iPod.
No, I don't have that. I haven't had that in a long time. But
oh, man.
Let me tell you this. I was
holy shit, we're gonna be all day.
And I used to ask Nathan to download because I didn't know anything about computers.
He and still doesn't.
Nathan's become a fan of the old school 80s music as well. It's like back in the day, he was giving me shit over like, oh great, now I can listen to 3 minutes and 17 seconds of this shit while he's sitting there eating cereal, downloading music for me. you know.
Leech it off of me to get music because his sorry ass doesn't know how to do it.
I didn't know how to do it, so I had to bum CDs off of Nathan, you know, to get my fix of 80s music and where.
Oh, yeah, the T-mixes, as he wanted them to be called.
T-mixes, yeah.
So, anyway,
we have been rambling 20 minutes about other shit. We haven't even started the show. So,
you tried to get me to bring it back, and then Tyler had to interrupt us with all of his grumpiness about, I hate everything.
All these topics of like people didn't like the hit remake, man. It's kind of surprising.
No, because it was relevant to what we talked about last week. I saw the comments, and then it snowballed from there, where you're like, I don't like anything anymore.
Seeing the film, but we're not going to. I'm like, okay, what constitutes as a film that you can understand why someone can sit there and say, it looks awful, but I'm not going to go see it? What kind of film can get away with that kind of excuse?
I have none. Really, because, I mean, people are people. They're going to judge things based off of whatever. Anyway.
Parts Unknown and just break you in half over my knee here.
Anyway. What? Anyway, like Joe wanted me to do 17 minutes ago.
20.
We're talking about Stranger Things. And Stranger Things is a show that is... It takes a lot of elements of things that I like. It's like part Goonies, you know, just the 80s vibe altogether, because that's when it takes place. The music is fantastic, the licensed stuff and the score. And it's kind of a show that sort of, when it came out, had hype behind it to begin with, and now is sort of like grown into a phenomenon, I would say. Joe, when the first season came out, because I started the first... either the first or second episode, like that week that it came out. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch more of this because I was into it. And then like 6 months went by and I had to start it over. But when I did that, I just went ahead and binge watched it. So going off of what you said when season two came out, were you kind of the same way when season one came out? Did you just watch an episode a week or did you kind of take it all in at once?
Oh, when season one came out, well, first of all, just to let you know, I was real late to the party. Because my buddy Chris Facone, he let me know about, he's like, Joe, you have to see this show called Stranger Things. He's like, man, if you love the 80s and that kind of pop culture, he says, it feels like it is the 80s because it's supposed to be set in the 80s. You'll love the intro. It feels like an old 80s style intro TV show, the music, the way the kids act. I mean, he got me so giddy about it. But I was like, man, I said, I'm sorry. I said, but I don't even have Netflix. I was like, I have no way I can watch this show. And it might have been... 5-6 months later that my one buddy, you know, told me, he was like, well, Joe, I have Netflix and you can like use my account. Like, I didn't understand what he was talking about. He was like, yeah, you can have up to 3 people use your account or something. And I was like, well, I don't know what that means. And then he told me I'd do it. And right when I got out, I was like, let me go to this Stranger Things. And I watched that first episode and I was hooked. But being new to Netflix, I didn't know about binging, even though, like I told you, I don't do that anyways. But I was like, man, they're listening to them all. You know, I mean, they're all there. Of course, this is months later, and I was thinking, well, they're all just set there, but I didn't know that from the get-go they were going to give it to you, like, even if you watched it on the first day it premiered. And so I was like, no, I want to take and just enjoy this bit by bit. So I did, just like I did with season two, I just did one every week. It was, you know, it's just, like I said, I like the anticipation. I just like the waiting, because I just hate the thought of, you know, I could make it last, let's say, just over 2 months, almost 3 months. But then, you know, you got to wait. Like, let's say I binged it in one day or two. It's like instead of waiting maybe hypothetically 6-7 months for the new season, now I got to wait like almost a whole damn year. And that's what kills me. It's like, you know, people who love Walking Dead, you know, they actually sit there and they have gatherings and parties and get-togethers. Every Sunday it's like, oh, man, we're going to meet up and watch the new episode of Walking Dead. Now, you wonder if they were presented the ability to binge watch them all right when the season came. I bet you they would, but it's like, man, you guys are missing out on this fun anticipation of buildup. You know, it's just, like I said, I'm not knocking anybody that binges, go right ahead, but I just hate the extra long wait. I guess that's why I don't binge, because I feel like I'm waiting real long for the next season, you know, but no, I mean, I was hooked right when I seen the first episode, and I mean, when 11 popped up, I thought it was a boy. You know, I didn't even know that was a girl. When I first seen 11, you know, when she popped up at that restaurant, I don't know about you. I don't know if I'm the only person, but I thought 11 was just a boy, and I was confused when they, you know, referred to her as a girl. But now I'll stop about how I first started, and we passed it to Tyler, but then we just talk about the show in general. But this is just, man, if you're just a person that grew up in the 80s or loved the 80s, this is the show to watch, though, no doubt.
I was aware of the show before I think it was released. I remember seeing a lot of like press for it on like JoeBlow.com and stuff like that, where people were saying, hey, you know, check it, you know, like seeing the artwork and praising it and things like that. And I think my brother was the first one that had told me that he had watched it and said that, you know, dude, it's like, that was, he said, like, that's some of the best child acting I've ever seen in a film. It's like, as much as you love Goonies, like, you need to see this series. And I wasn't opposed to it. I was just lazy about it. That's all it was. I was kind of intrigued, but didn't know anything about it. And then when the It trailer came out, and Joe was telling me around the same time, you know, have you seen Stranger Things? Like, no, I'm just lazy about sitting down to watch it. So as the story goes, you know, I told me if you watch the trailer, I would watch Stranger Things. So I binge watched it that weekend. That Saturday, I think I watched pretty much the maybe 80% Saturday, and then finished it up on Sunday. And I was like, God, man, that was a fantastic show, man. It was just, and I just was looking up stuff about the show, and I figured Joe wouldn't be hammering it so hard if there wasn't something He-Man related in there, and there was. You know, when Eleven's flipping through the channels, I think it's in episode 3. She's flipping through the channels at Mike's home, and then He-Man's Eye of the Power comes on, which was like, oh, man.
Yes.
And of course, so my mom saw that because I talked to her and my stepdad into watching it. They fell in love with it. My dad fell in love with it. So it was, it really, in a nutshell, the kids were such a blast to watch. Like, I'd almost, like with It, you have almost even more fun watching the kids do kids stuff, interact and bust each other's balls and talk about class or a girl they like and stuff like that. I have so much fun watching Lucas and Dustin and Will and Mike Dustin, Lucas, Will and Mike, excuse me.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah. Of course, Will's absent most of the season anyway, but they were just so much fun to watch, and I really got into that. And Winona Ryder did such a great job of playing such a neurotic mother.
You know, yeah. Good.
But by God, man, she just nails the chain smoking worried mother to death, man. That woman should have been given like a Golden Globe or an Emmy nominee or something like that for her portrayal. And Hopper was that was what was so interesting is like, you know, these characters, you're not quite sure where they're going. Like Hopper comes off as kind of this schlubby small town sheriff, and he becomes like this badass, you know. Well, sheriff, you know, he just comes off as a guy who just likes donuts. He's lazy, popping pills, smoking cigarettes, drinking beer. You know, not, you know, like everything's going to go on right under his nose. But about this is that all these characters have got so much more depth to them. Steve, who's like the big douchebag of the series, he's like, are they making this character likable towards the end of this series here?
Yeah.
The whole time you're wanting Nancy and Jonathan to get together. But then you kind of feel bad because Steven's actually coming around and being a good guy towards the end of the season.
Yeah, that was the part I found kind of...
Thrones kind of thing. They can make the worst guys the coolest guys.
Yeah, I found the same thing interesting. I mean, like I said, first, all the kids, it's like they're relatable. You felt like you would have been hanging out with these kids growing up. That's how it was. It was just that connection. It just felt so familiar. And like you said, there's like, it feels like it was kind of a Goonies movie, Stand By Me, you know, Stand By Me. There were so many like familiar elements of other 80s movies too as well. But, you know, the characters, like to take somebody, like you said, like Steve, because I was going to bring that up, but since you already did, I mean, I was going to say it too. You know, they made him like a real prick, and you know he's mean, and you know, like, you know, he had sex with Nancy and you figure, okay, and then he's just a douchebag, and then he's busting, you know, Jonathan's camera and just being so obnoxious. You're like, man, I hate this guy. And then, like you said, they turn around and try to make him likable at the end. I was like, wow, that's kind of strange. You know, usually they can never redeem the prick of a boyfriend that's the mean guy or the bully. They usually don't do that, but it's like, but then they did. I was like, oh man, I wanted Nancy and Jonathan to kind of be together, you know, but then they made Steve out to be a cool guy, which then when here comes season 2, he's a good guy now. And then here comes another dipshit, you know, with, you know, Mad Max and her brother. But
man, Billy, Billy and his mullet.
Yeah. I hope to God we get more Billy in season three. We see the inevitable, like a fairy has with Mike's mom. Because man, she was
That part. I was like, wow. I like, yeah, he's at the door and how he's giving her the look, and she's kind of looking at him too. I was like, geez, what's going on here? But that guy, you could tell. I don't think when season three comes, I don't think they're going to probably make him any redeemable character. If they did, it's like, okay, you already did it with Steve. Don't do it with Billy. I don't picture them doing that with him. But I guess you never know if they would try to make him a redeemable character.
I think he's going to go the opposite direction. I think Billy's going to, like, and become, like, just this main. I feel like he may be a main part of some bigger aspect of the story in regards to, like, the friendships there. He's going to do something so, so terrible that way for me. And I guess we should say, too, like, if you're listening to this or watching it on YouTube at some point, obviously we're going to be spoiler heavy, so go ahead and like pause this and come back to it and go watch it if you haven't already.
Yeah, but no, as for Billy, you wonder, like, maybe he'll become some kind of puppet for the Demogorgon or something from the Upside Down, you know, like maybe, yeah, he'll somehow, you know, not work with them, but maybe be like, you know, a pawn for them. Maybe they'll sense the evil with him of how awful this person is. Maybe they'll like corrupt him and use him symbiotically or something, you know, almost how like with Will had the connection with the Upside Down, you know, in season two, which that was a crazy element about, like, you know, when they burn, he burns, and they had to try to figure a way to get that out of him. So it's just, no, the whole thing, you know, it's weird when you talk about Winona Ryder, you know, with obviously playing Joyce the mother, and how neurotic she is, and knowing her, just knowing her son is not dead. You know, eventually you see in season one that the dead body that they had the funeral for, and that, you know, they found was, you know, when Hopper finds the body and splits it open, it's stuffed. You find out that obviously, yeah, that's not Will. So, you know, only confirmed that she knew he's, you know, alive, but her never ending, you know, quest to find her son. And then when she's starting to see these lights and she's going on that crazy Christmas light, you know, shopping spree and, you know, just looking insane, you know, getting the lights and getting her cigarettes or whatever else, but just putting them up so she could then see the letters that pop up that's letting her know that, you know, she, that her son is there and communicating with her. And I remembered, you know, just kept waiting. Is she ever going to see him? When's it going to happen? And when she's seen him in the wall, remember, on the other side, I thought that was, it was just so cool, because to me, she felt so neurotic. You felt so bad for her. You wanted her to finally know that she wasn't nuts, you know, as everybody else thought she was. So it was good for her mental stability to see, there is my son. She knew something was up. And I think that's when, didn't the Demogorgon come out of the wall almost in that same scene?
Yeah.
So it was just, like I said, the Demogorgon, you know, beyond in season one where it was, you know, just that was the main thing to be destroyed. Like when season two comes, they have lots of them. Then it's like they're almost like disposable. You know, I almost, that's the one thing about when you can hype up one thing so badass, and then when it comes another season, it's like secondary to this giant threat that is going to be shown or eventually. It's like, oh man, right. What, like what?
Aliens is a prime example, and that's what I felt season two was almost like a nod to Aliens because of how the Demogorgons work. There's obviously a queen or a head Demogorgon, so to speak, that runs the whole show.
Yeah, and then it makes them feel less than, you know what I mean? It's like they don't seem as imposing because they're, you know, taking out so many of them like nothing. We're in season one, here's this main one, and it is one hell of a threat. And now, hey, it's like, you know, we're just...
But too, because you don't know what the hell it is, and you don't know what can kill it. But once they realize that bullets and actual blunt force can kill it, you know, then it's... You know, especially when you don't know what it is. It's running around in the woods, eating, you know, dead deers and stuff like that. And
they're not as scared now, obviously, because in the first season, obviously...
...dealing with, you know? So that's why I kind of feel like it's like Alien and Aliens. You know, Ripley is aware that these things are terrible, but she's taking them out left and right in the sequel until she comes across with the alien queen, you know, which is, so that's why I feel like it's all right to downplay or kind of make the Demogorgon somewhat easier to defeat when there's so many of them running around because there's a much bigger threat on the horizon and they know what they're dealing with this time around. So you
kind of, it kind of worked the same way in pacing too. Like with the first season, you know, it's obviously a little more methodical and mysterious, and you have that big ending. Then second season comes around, and it's just like you're right in it and you're ready to go. So a little more, not as maybe for the second season for me, it seemed like it's not as much. There's still a little mystery there, but definitely not as much as the first season.
Oh, it always happens. Yeah, once you have that first season, you're right. Anytime there's a second season or something to another, whether it's a movie or a series, you're right. It's like the mystery is slightly gone, but then they try to find new ways of making, you know, something else mysterious, or wondering origins of something, or who else they're going to, you know, introduce into the show. I mean, I enjoyed season two just as much as one. Yeah. Yeah, you know, what's and this is, like I said, it's all opinion. If people like or hate a certain thing, that's fine. But I know that in season two, the episode where Eleven, Jane, whatever you want to say, when she goes out on her own to try to find out what's going on about, you know, who she is, maybe find her mother or the reason she has her power, other people like her. And when it's that sub episode when she meets like number eight, I can't remember what her name was, but when she met her in the gang, a lot of people said, man, I felt like that was a worthless episode and they shouldn't have did it. But you know what? I don't feel like that myself. I feel like she found out. See, first she was wondering, who should she be with? She had that big explosion with Hopper, you know, who took her in season two, you know, as a father-like. And they had their big, you know, argument. She's always having to be in the house. And, you know, she finally left. And now she's thinking, could this be my new family? But she sees what they're doing, even though number eight told her how to harness her power. So it's like she learned more about her powers. And she also learned what really is more important, who is her family. Because as she pops up towards the end of, like, you know, one of the episodes before the last episode of season two, and you see that one Demogorgon fly through the house, and then the door opens, and bam, there she is. She's home. She knows who her family is and where she's at. So I thought it was important as the character buildup for her.
Yeah, I mean, it made for a cool moment and everything, but I would agree that with everyone else that does stand out, and to me, in a slightly negative way. Now, obviously, they're going to follow through with that when season three comes around. We're probably going to see that character show up at some point. So it's going to be fine. But I guess in the context of how season two played out, it just sort of sticks out like a sore thumb a little bit to me.
I agree. No, you're right. It does. It sticks out because it definitely is different. You know, I remember when I first was watching how it started, I was like, this is kind of awkward. They're like in the city. It feels weird. It feels out of character. But then as it progressed more and more and I was seeing what was going on, I understood the context of what they were doing then. So then, yes, it made sense. And it made me not dislike the episode as much, because I agree, when I first watched the episode towards the beginning, I was like, man, I'm not feeling this episode. This is kind of weird and out of place. And then I've grown to appreciate the episode because, you know, I went back and then watched it again. I was like, you know what? Wasn't as bad as it seemed the first time on that specific episode. But Tyler, go ahead. Since we were doing a little rambling, go ahead.
No, I mean it was fine. I get why people felt that it, you know, it sidetracked. It took you away from the core cast of their adventures to kind of. You know, I was kind of surprised because it was so Eleven based. I figured most people would be behind the episode because she is arguably the most popular character of the series. So to have an episode based on her backstory to a certain extent and have her expand on who she is and what she can do. So I mean, a lot of people would be behind that, but a lot of people, clearly just didn't feel like didn't serve a whole lot of purpose to Eleven, even though we're given a whole lot of her backstory. You know, we learn who her mother is. We're learning about that whole scenario about, you know, Hawkins' lab abducting her and things like that. So it's not like we're completely out of the loop on what this character's been through and where she comes from and how all this stuff has kind of come to fruition with her. But it certainly doesn't have like the excitement of like a rewatch factor. You know, it's not an episode I don't feel like people can say, hey, let's sit down and watch that episode of season two. You know, it's just one of those that expands on Eleven. It's almost like a spinoff episode, or spinoff series within the season, you know, because it is completely so far removed from Hawkins. And but it allows for a good build up for Eleven to make her triumph and come back to Hawkins to save them at Joyce's house,
which was a really cool scene.
It was. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was like probably one of the best parts, one of the best scenes of season two. Even though you know that it's coming, because I'm just like, all right, it's still the way they shot it. You know, the way Mike looked at her and that can, because it's the first time he's seen her since that happened at the end of season one. You know, it was just a really good moment.
Yeah, because as you've seen, I mean, she, you know, he's been wondering, you know, he had the feeling that she's probably still alive, and then she's, you know, been somewhat looking and watching over him, trying to communicate with him without knowing. And then when you've seen in that one episode in season two where she's at school and you're like, oh my God, she's finally going to find Mike. But you know, they're always going to do some shit that's going to throw a curveball that's going to piss you off. And she walks in and she sees Mike with Max. And immediately Levin's thinking they're together, and that just, like, it just throws her world, you know, like out of, you know, out of whack. But at the end, yeah, when you, like you said, when she made her triumphant return and he sees her and they, you know, finally get to the hug, and it's, yeah, because you know how it is, anytime you see a movie when there's the guy and the girl, they're liking each other, you want that moment where they hug, kiss, show that they finally love each other, you know, because they had their kiss at the dance, which was really cool. But you know, it was a good build-up. But Max was, yeah, I think she was thrown in there, you know, obviously let's have a new character since obviously Eleven is going to be doing her other things, let's throw another female, and plus it added that element of, you know, and plus the divide in a way of between Lucas and Dustin. You know, because they both have a thing for Max. You know, it's just like me. It's like, you know, you go in an arcade. Here we go. It's time for the Nathan and Joe show. You go in an arcade and you see somebody beating your high score. You're like, well, what the hell's going on? Who's this? Who's Mad Max? You find out it's a girl. Yeah, that's gonna turn you on, especially guys like, well, a girl is better than me? Because you know how it is. Back in the 80s, all guys thought they were the best at video games. So to know a girl not only is playing games, but is better than you, that's an immediate turn on. It's like, I got to meet this girl. And then she looks hot. You're like, I got to date this girl. So I like that little character. Yeah.
Yeah. And Joe worded it that way because Tyler never got a high score on any arcade cabinet.
Never had his name up there at all.
Never had his initials up there.
Multiple arcade. Yeah. I just didn't put a lot of stock into doing that. I was more about my own personal gratification of getting to Shao Kahn at the end, or getting so far in Tekken, or you know, winning a tag team match on WrestleFest. You know, it was not necessarily. I didn't hold it. Whereas Joe and Nathan are talking as if like they're both a couple of Lucas Bartons, you know, walking around with trench coats, you know, heading to Jolly Time Arcade over here at New River Valley Mall back in the day. You know, no. It's bullshit. Everything he said was bullshit. Thank you.
There you go. And then, Nathan, what'd you think? Obviously, then we got to see, you know, at the end of season one, you know, we've seen where Will, when he comes back, you know, everything seems like it's good. He's at the dinner table. He goes into the bathroom to excuse himself, and then he coughs up, you know, this slug, which obviously that slug then is a exactly. It's this little baby Demogorgon, obviously. It's going to grow and grow, which finds its way into the garbage can at Dustin's house, and Dustin finds this thing and he thinks it's a cute little thing, and he's feeding it Three Musketeers, and he calls him D'Artagnan, but then for short calls him Dart, and he has his little pet. So, you know, that was what was unique too, is eventually he sees what this son of a gun does, you know, eating the family cat. And
I hated seeing that. At least
That's on me.
I felt bad for Dustin's mom. Like, there's no closure, you know.
No, there wasn't.
You know, I'm hoping maybe for like how basically everyone was in up in arms about how Barbara was so disregarded. I'm hoping everyone's going to be up in arms about Dustin's mom's cat.
Well, I thought that at the end there was another cat, another pet.
She doesn't have a cat, but she, you know, we're under the impression that what is she told that her original cat was killed? Is she dead?
Probably think it just ran away.
Yeah, just ran away.
Had to get in. Yeah, that's the best, safest way. But yeah, it's like, how hard can that be, you know, for like when you think about Dustin, you know, he's hiding from everybody that about his, you know, pet that he has and knows he found it, and they're upset at him, and he knows it's a bad thing. You know, he's trying to still see the good in it. Like, you know, towards the end when they're all, you know, underground, you know, when they go, you know, into the upside down, but in that tunnel area. And I think that's when he sees Dart and, you know, confronts it and is not fearful. And did he have Three Musketeers that he gave to him again? I couldn't remember. Yeah. I thought he gave, you know.
He gave him a piece so they could get away. And that's just one of the coolest things about season two And I hope that my computer, yeah, my computer's being like kind of weird. Anyway, one of the best things about season two for me, like just seeing not only the progression, but it's kind of like, you know, season one had that focus on Mike and Eleven, you know, and Nancy. And by the time season two rolls around, it's like, all right, well, let's take Steve, let's take Dustin, let's take Lucas and kind of like shift them to the front, kind of like make them have more to say and more to do. I really like that. And also when, you know, Dustin does find Dart, it kind of reminded me of Gremlins. So I'm just like, you guys are just hitting all the bases here. It's like Goonies, Gremlins, like all this stuff. They've taken everything. And to kind of go back to season one, like sort of what sucked me in anyway is, you know, there's the mystery in that first episode. And, you know, you see the beginning and then, you know, Barb's gone and everything. And then you bring in the kids and they're sitting around playing D&D. And even though I never played it, I can certainly appreciate the fun that's involved with sitting there with your friends and like making a night of it. And they're sitting there and I'm watching them and I'm like, the first thing that popped in and that I just eagle-eyed out, I'm like, oh, they got a poster from The Thing. I'm like, that's great. I'm in. I don't know where it's going to go from here, but once all those first things happen, like that first episode, I'm like, all right, let's go.
That's all it takes. Yeah, you got to have some reference of the 80s or your childhood, and it sucks you in. Like I said, with He-Man, with me, and that with you. And then when season two comes around, like you see that they're, you know, he's clearing out his toys, the first figure I think he has, and he's getting rid of his Man-at-Arms. I couldn't remember if he got rid of a He-Man figure. Joe's like, oh, no, he's thrown away his He-Man figures. But for Ghostbusters,
Lucas comes to redeem that idea where his, you know, he gets mad at his sister for playing with his He-Man toys and saying they're not even from the same planet, you know. I was like,
okay. I like that.
Mike may be trying to give away some of his toys, but Lucas is holding steady with the power of Grayskull in this episode here. So
yeah, because what his sister was playing with, was it Barbie and He-Man together or something? Yeah. Or like they're making, you're right, they're from the same planet. I did like that. And I like that yes, we finally got to see Lucas's family and Dustin's, because you didn't see them in the first season. So you're right, I like that we got to see more of the characters that were in season one and more about their families. It all works so well. I mean, hell, season two, how it started with them out trick-or-treating and, you know, with the Ghostbusters out, you know, costumes, which was cool. And then when Will's out and all those kids came up to him, like, trying to scare him, and one had a Jason mask, so I'm freaking out, oh, Friday the 13th, even though I think he had a mask from, I think it was part eight, which was years after when it was supposed to be taking place there. But I was like, I'll let that slide. I'm not going to be that person that nitpicks.
84, that's when the final chapter came out. So Jason was already wearing the hockey mask. So
no, I said mask. It looked like they took part eight's mask. And I was like, they shouldn't have part eight's mask.
You know, just
but I'm not a nitpicker. I wouldn't do that, but I swear it was part eight. So they screwed up. They screwed the pooch there with the mask.
It was not a nitpicker.
I'm not a nitpicker, but they did screw the pooch on that mask, I believe. I think it was part eight. I could be wrong, but I'd have to go back and double check. But it was still cool.
I want to go ahead and take a second, too, to bring up something that always made Tyler jealous, because anytime I get an opportunity to do that on this show, I'm going to do it. Okay. He noticed, or I told him once and brought it out and showed it to him, but Hill's Department Store. We used to have one of those around, and when I was a kid, like, my parents would go there pretty much like, I don't want to say every weekend, but we were there frequently. And you know, that's where I did all my school clothes shopping and everything. Anyway, they had like these Ghostbuster jumpsuits. So I got one. I used to wear it to school all the time. I don't think Tyler ever had one. And I remember him being kind of jealous of that.
Oh,
just want to bring it up.
Well, that's not a dick move, but that's all right. Did Tyler ever say he wished he had one or something? Did you rub it in his face or what?
I think I did.
When was the time that I was over at Nathan's house in high school and he's pulling out something that he completely forgot that he had? Oh, yeah, I forgot. I did have a complete Ghostbusters firehouse with the box intact. Hell, I didn't even ask for that for Christmas that year.
He's just getting gifts like nothing.
Yeah, I do have the Ghostbusters. Ecto 2 car, Ecto 1 car from Ghostbusters 2. Yeah. I remember, like, that just kind of gave me my next door neighbor. Like, I told her I really didn't need it, but she gave it to me anyway.
No, hey, I knew that I had all that stuff. I didn't forget about that stuff. I forgot about the comics that I had. So when we're down there, we're pulling, and Tyler's flipping through all of them, freaking out the whole time.
All this is, you're like, No, no, no. What is, dude? This is the first appearance of Venom, Amazing Spider-Man number 300. Like, huh?
It's nothing for Nathan. Nathan's got all the money in the world. He's got all these gifts and all these great toys and stuff. I did not even ask for that, but they gave it to me. Oh, that was quite nice of all of them to do. Well, we're begging and hoping and praying we get something good for Christmas. We're scraping up and
saving money. You got an attorney and playset too. Both you guys are sitting there clamoring like, you know, well, speaking of which, you know, there was that one Christmas that I got the Holy Grail email.
Well, like I said, as for that attorney, that was a whole tons of
Batcave. I got the Batmobile, and I still have the box.
It was a lot of money saving, like I said, by my parents getting attorney. No, it was. That was a lot of money saving, and I remember my mom felt so bad because on Christmas, here came Christmas, and I always tell that story.
Going in, and we got to hear the whole same damn story here. We're not only the
judge, but he also... You're going to shut up. So anyways, one gift. Here's one big gift that's sitting there under the tree for me, and I knew it's Eternia. My brothers and sisters had tons of, you know, things that they could open, all these different little packages, and I had one, and my mom felt so bad that I was opening one that she found a way of getting, like, another land shark in a box and two other gifts and something else. Just, I was like, Ma, you didn't have to do that. I was like, this was fine. She's like, yeah, but I felt so bad you just opened one gift. I was like, this is an epic gift. And I just knew all the effort and savings and what they did to get that. So that's why it meant the world. But I want to say something real quick about Hills. You know, when you're talking about Hills, and it'd be cool if that ever popped up in Stranger Things or some show if they tried to do a little retro thing with Hills. But yeah, that was the place where I remember first seeing Nintendo, seeing the Sega Master System, and they had those kiosks where you could play them. And I remember playing both, like, oh, yeah. God, it's like, I want these so bad. That's where I seen the Meteorbs for the first time and got the Meteorbs. But Hills was the place that had one of the best meals. And everybody always thinks I sound insane with this. Me and my dad would go to Hills every Friday, and we would go there to their section where they would have hot dogs and things, and we'd sit down, but they had, like, nacho chips.
Yeah,
and then we'd get chilies and cheese that we put on them. Oh my God, did Hills have the best chili cheese nachos I've ever seen anywhere? It's like, where are you guys going for supper? I'm going to Hills? Like, Hills? What the hell are you talking about? Like, yeah, they got chili cheese chips. Right. Like, what? But it was a big buffet.
I mean, we always got the popcorn and always got an icy.
Yeah.
Because they always had the different cups. Like, I remember, like, I still have them. It's just all kinds of, like, sports cups, a lot of baseball team stuff, especially when I was, like, super into baseball. I miss that store so much. Because
everybody does.
The toy department was just, like, always stocked. Nothing was ever blown out, and they had, like, everything.
They did. I miss it.
All ever going to Hills and not finding, because Hills was such a, like, Kmart was like a hit and miss. It could suck, and you could go in there and you could find, you know, WWF Hasbro's Hulk Hogan with the Hulkster hug, and like, oh my God, they've got it. You know, whereas you go to Hills, that's where, you know, I get He-Man, you get G.I. Joe, you get some of the new Ninja Turtles, you get the new Adventures of He-Man, you get the Street Fighter G.I. Joe figures, you get RoboCop figures, whatever, the Spider-Man toy line, Star Wars Powers of the Force. It was like, I got so many firsts all at Hills. I mean, that it was just, you know, and everybody, to this day, everybody, anytime from my own family to other people outside my family, you mentioned Hills. That's why me and Nathan always have so much fun talking about it. Everybody has the fondest memories of that store.
It was great.
And they all associate getting ices or popcorn or hot dogs or whatever it is. That was part of the experience of going to Hills. Like Joe and his dad getting chili cheese nachos, Nathan and I mean, his family would get popcorn and icy. My mom would not let it. We would not leave Hills without one of those tall, thin bags of Hills popcorn.
Yeah,
accompany it. You know,
I gotta look. You know, I think I even still have a bag somewhere because I thought I put like one of my things in it as a kid and wrapped it in a Hills bag. I'm gonna have to see if I still have that. But I mean, I miss it. It was like the one place I felt like I could go to that was. It was a trek. It was like from where I lived. It might have been like 4 or 5 miles away. And I remember it was the first time I took my bike and rode my bike to Hills and took my chain and, of course, wrapped it around a pole and, got my bike safe there. But it was the furthest I've ever went to go somewhere. I was so obsessed with Hills sometimes. If I couldn't go, it's like, man, I can't wait. You know, I got to go myself, and I'd ride my bike. I just love that damn place. Like I said, especially when the era came, you know, beyond looking for the toys. But, yeah, when that Nintendo and when the Master System was at the kiosks, I mean, I would just go there just to play. And they didn't care back then. I know that nowadays, you know, sometimes they don't like kids playing the demo games, but they didn't care. I was just there. I'm sitting there playing Alex Kidd in Miracle World on the Sega Master System, then jumping over playing Super Mario Brothers and then Duck Hunt because they didn't even have the gun thing. It's like, damn, I miss Hills. That sucks that that place had to go away. It was just, like you said, it had absolutely everything. I love getting my Halloween costumes there, too. That's where you get the Ben Cooper He-Man outfits and everything. Oh, God.
I guess I'll ask this, too. Did your store turn into an Ames? Because that's what ours did, and it just, like...
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes, it did. And then now it's a Lowe's. It went from Hills to Ames, and now it's Lowe's.
So. Well, ours turned into a Tractor Supply, so I
similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it changed hands over. It was like an antique mall at one point, but now it's I think it was a church at one point. Now it's a Tractor Supply store, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I got my laser disc of The Crow from that antique store that they threw in there at one time.
Oh, let's go. I was going to say real quick, Jackie Miller in the chat room said, now I think the slogan might be different. I might be wrong. Now, Jackie Miller said, remember the slogan, Hills is the place for kids. I always thought it was Hills is where the toys are. Isn't that what
it was? I remember that one too.
Did they have two of them? Because I remember Hills is toys are.
The toys are. I remember seeing that, but it could have been different for every area. It's hard to say. Like I don't actually remember getting, I didn't see commercials for Hills when I was a kid. You know, that was just a store that I knew instinctively. That's where I get my He-Man toys. That's where I get G.I. Joe and toys.
Yeah.
I never.
Yeah. Anytime my parents were like, we're going to Hills, I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, I'm getting a toy.
Yeah.
Damn.
Advertise. If there was, I never saw commercials for Hills. It was always maybe the newspaper. But other than that, it's just like we were conditioned at a young age that Hills is where you go to get all nothing but cool toys. Play, you know, demos of video games and check out the video selection. And
I enjoyed it more than Toys R Us. I loved Hills. Yeah. Hills was just an event. I mean, you just felt like you were really going somewhere.
Nathan, though, that was because, you know, Nathan's not far from me, in, you know, when we were kids. So that was a big thing to go to Toys because it was an hour away.
Yeah.
And that was only one close by. You had to either go to Richmond, which was even further away, or, I don't even know where south. You probably Charlotte probably been the closest one. So going to Toys R Us, that was the equivalent of going to heaven.
It was the
cream of the crop, but Toys R Us was like, oh my God, you know, this is like the whole, it's like your church. It is a young boy's church to go to Toys R Us.
Toys R Us was different. You're right. I mean, it was loaded with all the toys, but you're right. Hills just, I felt like I was going to like a mini carnival or something. Cause like you said, you made a day of it. I mean, not only shopping for, you know, whatever, if you were getting clothes or toys or games or food, they even had little carnival like mini rides for when you were real young, you know, the little carousels or the things to get on. I mean, it actually felt like it was just a mini carnival in a way. Real quick, I want to say JSP said we were both right. There was two slogans. Hills is where the toys are, and Hills is a place for kids. So it had two slogans. So thanks, JSP, for pointing that out. And again, like we always do, which I love, we went on a 20-minute side rant about Hills during Stranger Things, but I love it. I mean, hell, we started off with a 20-minute rant about everything in the world. Yeah. So, no, but go ahead, Nathan. We can transition back if you want some of your final thoughts on Stranger Things, if you want, to Tyler, and we could do a little bit to close her up.
Well, I mean, we still got like half an hour. We got plenty of time.
Oh, good. Plenty. Okay, good. All right, go ahead.
I guess I'll jump back to Winona Ryder because prior to Stranger Things, like, what's the last thing anyone saw her in? Like, Mr. Deeds?
Star Trek.
Corrupted? Start? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she plays Spock's mom.
Yeah, but that was for, like, what, 5 minutes?
No, I was just being specific. There's no, she hasn't had any like major starring roles in a film in a long time. No, she's been, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, I haven't seen her in a while. And, you know, you see her and it's not only does she act all of that well with the stress and everything, but she looks it too. She looks like death. And then one of the funniest parts for me in season one is where like she figures out what's going on, and then like it comes through the phone and burns her phone. So she goes back to her job and it's like, hey, can, you know, can I have an advancement on my pay? Gets another phone and like hooks it up. She's like all trying to get in communication again. And then it just gets fried again. To me, that was like, it was funny just because of those first few episodes. She plays it so well, but it's also, at least to me anyway, a little bit comedic. Because it's just, I don't even know how to word it, like why it was so funny for me. It's just.
No, I know what you mean. It kind of, because, you know, everything was so serious tone and a neurotic mother, you know, freaking out, her kid's gone. You can only imagine what that poor woman's going through.
Yeah.
So you're right. Just to have a little part where you can slightly feel like, you're at ease. She's, you know, she's freaked out. She went back to her job. She wants another phone. You know, I think she wants cigarettes. I thought she got cigarettes too. I couldn't remember.
I can just looking at their home, I can just have a great idea of what their house smells like. Like just nothing but cigarettes and vintage furniture and stuff like that. Just with the wood paneling, you just have a great idea of what Joyce, Wills, and Jonathan's house must smell like. You know, just constant cigarette smell. You know, just 24/7.
No, yeah, it would seem like, and then, you know, speaking of the, you know, like, let's talk about Jonathan for a second now. You know, he's kind of like, you know, the outsider, the kind of loner, the one that feels like he doesn't fit in. You know, he has his camera, he's taking stalky pictures, you know, of Nancy and Steve, and gets Barb, you know, before she disappears. And do you wonder, like, well, obviously their father, remember, is not there, and he lives somewhere else and was with a girlfriend. And you wonder if that's what happened with, like, his kind of personality after he got a divorce, you know, kind of, you know, he felt like now he's kind of, like, on his own. Like, I felt bad for that kid because he just wants to, you could tell, fit in, but doesn't really know how to. So he stays to himself and does his own things, you know, just, you know, personal. He's just, you know, and not an introvert. I don't know if he is an introvert, but, you know, he's basically by himself. I always felt bad for him. So that's why when there was kind of a connection with Nancy, and especially leading the season two, I felt good. Like, okay, maybe, you know, this kid can have a girlfriend now and kind of like, you know, try to move on and be more with people, you know, and talk and not be as, you know, on the outside and the oust, because you see how he got picked on, you know, especially when Steve grabbed the camera, thought, you know, knew what he was doing, smashes his camera. I felt so bad for Jonathan, because you just wonder his whole personality, if that's all from the divorce or what.
And they, I mean, they do a good job in season two as well, like with everyone else, just his character arc, you know, seeing him go through those changes from being an introvert to, oh, well, he's with Nancy now and trying to like figure all of that stuff out. Because I feel like most guys that are introverts, and I don't want to say weird, but, you know, they have their little quirks. When they finally do get the opportunity to date someone, it's especially awkward for them because they don't have that confidence. And you can still see that in season two. He's still not confident. He's still – but he – I guess, man, I'm just words escape me again. He's not confident so much, but he's more aware of himself, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Like, he knows more who he is. He's not confident about it, but he kind of knows now who he is and who he's supposed to be.
Oh, I can agree with that.
See, no, I don't even feel confident in even saying that. I'm like, did that sound stupid?
No, I know what you're saying. No, it's, you know, there's a lot of different characters with whether how their development is or pairings you wouldn't expect. Like in season two, I thought one of the most unique ones was how they put Steve and Dustin together. You know,
season was that duo.
Yeah, that was kind of cool because that is probably one of the most unexpected duos you'd even think that they would pair up. So I thought that was just different seeing them putting those two together and seeing what they could do with Steve and Dustin. I just, like I said, I like seeing all the other characters that they were just, you know, trying to introduce new ones, new relationships. And like I said, we never really did explore much about Max. I mean, what did you guys think of that triangle with Dustin, Lucas, and Max? You know, always, you know, the two obviously vying for her affection. But, I mean, were you pulling for one to really, you know, get her over the other, or did you just find it interesting altogether?
It came off like Lucas was featured more in that triangle. It almost kind of felt like it was kind of a triangle because Lucas had much more of an ongoing kind of interaction with Max, whereas Dustin was kind of standing by, observing, and then when he breaks off with Steve, you know, Lucas has a little bit more interaction with Max overall, so where it doesn't feel like much that it's there, you know, especially when they all meet at the junkyard and have the big fight with the Demogorgons at the bus. But it still feels like Lucas has clearly got that this is where Lucas is going with this, and that Dustin, you know, is going to kind of be taken under the wing of Steve and learn what it's like to build confidence in yourself and approaching women and talking to girls.
Well, I mean, Dustin kind of exuded the confidence to you know, like he wants everyone to think that he's confident, even though he's really not. Because you can see, like, deep down, especially there at the dance, he's just, like, sort of crushed. So it was one of those things when Joe was asking who was I pulling for. I was pulling for Dustin because, obviously, you know, he wants that connection with someone. He wants a girlfriend and everything. And, you know, his way of going about things is – you know, maybe if I'm a smartass and kind of exude the confidence, and it'll happen. And Steve kind of like brings him down a notch. It's like, no, you know, like do this. And you can see it like there at the dance. He's like, Dustin does the thing with his tongue where he's like, oh, I can't do it because I'm terrible at it. But, you know, Steve's like, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. He was doing that quite a bit now that he got in his pearly whites. But no, you're right. Dustin, you know, he, like you said, he tries to be confident, but you're right, beyond being with Steve and then his, you know, hidden, you know, creature pet Dart, it's like he had more focus on other things. Like he couldn't put all his focus into trying for Max, where, you know, in reality with Lucas was just being himself and wasn't even really trying. You know, that's what was good about it. And he just immediately, more clicked with Max. And even though Dustin, you could tell Dustin really was trying, but
Lucas,
he still wasn't focused.
About that, Lucas was more hands-on about approaching her, like taking her to the arcade to try and explain to her what the hell they've been dealing with, coming to her house and running the risk of Billy coming out and going on some sort of racist rant, which is kind of what it's implied.
Yeah.
You know, but Lucas clearly was the more hands-on with Max, so that's why it never felt like Dustin was going to have much of a chance for that to go any further, even though he's talking to Steve about it. And when she shows up, Steve's like, is that her? You know, you're like, yeah, that's her. But he still felt like Lucas has got her. Like that those two are going to, you know, kind of be a couple, so to speak. So, but it worked out better because that's what leaves Dustin and Steve's relationship to be a lot more closer, because he's looking to Steve for guidance on how he can, you know, get what Lucas has got or get his own. And
well, yeah, because No, I was just gonna say real quick, did they ever explain or show where Dustin's dad was? Because maybe Steve, even in a way, became like a father figure if he didn't have a father.
I took it as a big brother, a cool big.
Well, you know what I mean? An older male role model to help and guide him. That's why I didn't know where his father was. If they explained it,
I don't think they did. But it worked out for Dustin in the end anyway, because at the dance, he gets to dance with Nancy. And
yeah.
You know, oh man, ugh. You guys talk about like hot girls all the time and all this stuff. If I was of high school age in that time period and I went to school with her, oh, holy shit, I would be, I would be like running into locker doors when people open them and everything, because I'd just be like in awe of her. But he got to dance with her, and not only that, she made sure to do it in front of other girls. So it's like,
yeah,
hey, check this out. Like, he's a stud. So
and that's how some of the girls
follow through.
I like that. You're right, because that's how some of the girls were looking at him then. Like, he was a stud.
See, it's times like that made that. Those are the moments that shine the most for me in Stranger Things, are those moments. Not necessarily all the awesome Demogorgon and crazy Hawkins lab stuff that was going on, but those simple moments with the kids being kids, you know, because of going to the sock ops and you want to dance with a particular girl and you get rejected. And it was a real, you know, to have, it was just kind of like, almost like, you know, you kind of feel like it's inevitable that Nancy and Steve will get back together at some point, because Jonathan's off filming New Mutants. So I don't even know if they'll keep him on Stranger Things Season 3 or he'll be written off.
What's he doing?
What's that?
What did you say Jonathan is doing right now?
Jonathan has been cast in Fox's New Mutants TV series. So he'll be playing in that. So kind of makes you wonder if, you know, if that takes off, will they write Jonathan's character off the show?
Oh, they better not. They better not.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what I'm getting to is that, you know, I almost feel like Dustin's going to be the one that brings Steve and Nancy back together because, you know, when Steve picks him up, teaches him how to, you know, style his hair and how to approach women, you know, and drops him off and tells him, you know, go get him. He goes in there, and then Nancy is the one that continues on with the night of building up Dustin's confidence. So I just know for a fact there's going to be a moment where he probably tries to confide in both of them based on what happened, you know, on that night. And that's going to end up bringing Steve and Nancy kind of back in this roundabout way of, like, you know, where Steve's going to be like, I really miss her. You know, I'm crazy about it. Like when he's, before he stops and looks at Nancy, you know, talking to people as she's at the concessions and stuff. You just know that these two will meet again and get back together in Season 3.
Or they won't.
I like it better.
I guess you never know. you never know. But no, I'm sure they should still keep Jonathan on. We've seen a lot of people do multitasking, doing a couple shows. So I could hopefully still see him being there for Season 3 when it happens. The one group of people, maybe just a couple, it's kind of strange. I don't think they popped up in Season 2, but remember the little punk-ass bullies from Season 1 that were picking with all – and remember at that quarry and everything, trying to tell, you know, Mike to, you know, jump off. And when he does, then you see he floats up, and then here comes Eleven. And, oh, you know, pissed her off. Boy, she broke that one bully's arm. And, I loved it. I love seeing when she – it's like Eleven lost her shit. But you never seen them in Season 2. I don't even know if they might have been background characters, but did they show them at all? I don't think they did.
They probably didn't, but between getting your arm broke and someone making you piss yourself, you probably don't want to show up anywhere near them anymore. So.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, heck, because Eleven was showing her ship. Well, I mean, like when they were being chased, you know, in Season 1 and that van was, you know, there. Remember, she like used her powers to make the van flip over them. And when they were towards the end, when she killed off all them bastards, you know, that one, the female, you know, whatever the hell you want to call her, agent, and had her eyes bleed, killed all of them. Like, wow. Yeah. When she took out that one Demogorgon at the end of Season 1, that scream, it's like you just feel the pain and emotion. It's like, so you knew she wasn't dead, but you're wondering, oh, okay, what's going to happen? How's she going to come back? And then at the end of Season 1, you see, you know, Hopper putting those, you know, some food or Eggos or whatever in that container in the forest. Then you find out Season 1, okay, he found her. She was able, she came back, and then he had her in the cabin. It was like I said, that's what he was doing, was trying to keep her safe because he figured if they find her, obviously they're going to come get her. And which led to the whole thing of her leaving, which we talked about earlier, because she's been stuck in that place the whole time. He has a secret knock for her to let her know it's me. So I like that. I like that, you know, he was trying to be a father figure to her. But, you know, well, in a way, she's a kid. She's got to understand rules and to listen to things and boundaries. And like a kid, rebels and breaks out of the house. So I like that they had her like a kid.
Yeah, and that had to be hard for him anyway, you know, because, like, he had a daughter beforehand that they flashed back to and probably mentioned in passing in Season 2, you know. Like, you feel the pain for him, but he also is more than willing to take her in, and for him to like to want to teach her all these things, and she just, and that had to have been pretty tough for him anyway. And you see that in Season 2. I don't even really know where I was going with that.
No, and also seeing what they did to, you know, Eleven's poor mother, you know, I mean, she finally gets to see her, but then she gets to get into her head and seeing what her mother is seeing all the time. Mother's repeating these numbers and other things over and over, you know, which helps her understand and learn what she has to do. But, you know, her poor mother, I mean, look at the state that she got put in and what they did to her. So, I mean, there was a lot you did see in Season 2 that they, you know, finally explained so many things, which makes you think, you know, okay, what is Season 3 going to be about now that you've seen the mind flare or whatever they called it, you know, that thing that, you know, Will was always drawing, and you see that thing is still there. So, I mean, that's why you know there's going to be a Season 3. I just don't know when they're going to do it. If it would be at the end of this year, beginning of next year, me, of course, I would hope it would be, hey, give it to us this Halloween again, you know, in 2018. But I don't know if they're gonna. Don't shake your head, Cena. See, that's what I mean. It pisses me off. We gotta wait so long.
Yeah, I would expect Halloween 2019.
Don't do that. Yeah. We can't wait no 2 damn years. I don't want to wait 2 years.
Yep. Is
it definite?
I haven't read anything, but I imagine that it probably one of those things that'll start in production late this year and then it'll come out sometime next year. They probably haven't even written everything for season.
Well, yeah, they had ideas for a third season, but they wanted to kind of wrap up the whole Demogorgon storyline for these two seasons and try and do something else. You know, they obviously throw in that kind of tease at the very end because they may decide to go back to the well and bring that back again. But the Duffer Brothers said they wanted to kind of do something different in season three. So, they have ideas, but as of right now, I'm sure that they're fleshing it out, writing scripts, coming up with ideas for episodes and stuff like that. But, you know, there hasn't been any official news released just yet.
Well, whenever it does happen, I would, as much as I'd love the show, I'd hope that they would, with season three, maybe that'd be the end of it. Meaning sometimes they try to go so far and do too much with the series that it kind of starts, you know, losing the impact and the momentum and the feel of the show. And especially, like I said, if you keep waiting years and years, they're just going to be getting older and older and older. It's like, Okay, what can you keep doing? I mean, I love the damn show to pieces. Of course I do.
I think 4 seasons would be plenty since they kind of hinted at that. They would do 3 seasons for sure, maybe 4. And then,
did they say that? Okay.
Yeah. I've seen that. I've seen that written down from them that they season 3's pretty much a go, but 4 would probably be the last one. And to see them as you know, a bit older teenagers, you know, referencing other movies, which would be around and, you know, around that time, you know, because of Aliens, maybe even 1987 with Predator being out and stuff like that, RoboCop, you know, it leaves a lot of cool stuff for them to do with them as they're getting older, still in high school. And I still feel like, you know, there's a lot of good stuff, but I think 4 seasons would be good. You know, I don't expect it to go on like Game of Thrones or something like that, where it goes on for, you know, 9 seasons. But yeah, I think 4 would be plenty. You know, you always want to leave the audience wanting more, no matter how bad they want it. You know, go out on a high note. I think 4 seasons would be plenty.
I would totally agree with everything you just said. Because if you go too far, you wind up with like what The Walking Dead's going through right now. You know, there's still people that watch it, but I haven't watched it since season 5, I think. And I would hear about what happens. I'm just kind of like, eh.
No, you're right. No, Nathan, you are right. I mean, for some shows, like you said, Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, maybe other ones where it's like adults and it feels like sometimes, well, since they almost always look the same, it seems like you keep going and going. But when you have the ones, like you said, with the younger kids and they get older and older and older, it's like, okay, you're starting to lose the feel of what made that so not just wholesome. I'm not saying wholesome, but you know what I mean? Just so relatable. And then they start getting too old. It's like, okay, now we're just turning off into a whole different area and I don't want that to happen. So by season 4, they could stop.
Well, I mean, they could do a thing, too, where if they waited, like, it could be a thing first episode. It's like recaps everything that happened in season 2 and then or the end of season 2, and then you get that graphic 4 years later. Boom. They're all grown up. Don't have to worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
They could do something.
No, they could. It just would be different. Jake in the chat room is just real quick was just trying to infuriate me. And Jake, I usually don't rant on a horrible rant, but that will be Sunday. It's going to be the one time Tyler does rants too. I mean, and some say Tyler might rant more, but on Sunday, okay.
Curiosity.
What's that?
Have people said that?
Yes. And so I am going to, yes, they have. It's okay though. There's nothing wrong with that. But I am going to.
I was curious if they were saying like, man, I'm sick and tired of his bitching all the time.
No. It's good. It's good. Like I said, I rant too, but Jake just, he's poking me because he said, well, how about that upcoming Masters of the Universe movie? Yeah, Jake, don't worry. This Sunday, I might explode. I'll try to be cool, but yes, I am going to blow up about that. I'll give my opinions, and like I said, people like something, they like it. They don't. That's what's great about opinions, but this is the one time where Joe will go nuts Sunday. So, yes, so we'll save that. But thanks
I'll be,
for getting
I'll be tuning in for that one and the Tila concept art with some certain unmentionable things on the desk.
We're gonna hold this all Sunday. But thanks, Jake, for already getting me slightly worked up.
But before we hit the end, because I don't wanna miss this part of the aspect of the Stranger Things episode. And I know that it was designed this way and it was written this way. And, if you've watched enough TV shows and specifically Aliens, I'm sure you guys thought that Paul Reiser's character and Bob were destined to just turn out to be evil, terrible people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a guarantee. And then I'm like, oh, my God, man. Paul Reiser's character is actually not a bad guy, but they deliberately set him up to be the typical evil government doctor clearly a throwback to Carter Burke from Aliens. Like, you just can't trust Paul Reiser with the government. You can't do it.
Yeah, the one thing that you just brought up, and I'm glad you just mentioned Paul Reiser, because obviously it brought up something to make me think of. And that was Sean Astin popping up in Stranger Things Season 2. And, of course, his little nod to the Goonies, like, what you guys do? We forgot about that character being, Joyce's, boyfriend and how he's trying to help out. And, damn it, I hated that he had to get killed at the end of that scene. Oh, man, that was heartbreaking for damn poor Joyce. She had her boyfriend. And I was like, oh, man, he just killed him off because – they were making Goonies references, obviously, in parts of that movie, too. But, I mean, what about, it's the perfect character to bring into a movie based off of some of the most iconic things. Like you said, obviously, there's inspiration of the Goonies from Season 1 and Season 2. And they bring, one of the most iconic Goonies characters into this. And he did great. He was wholesome. And, like, I like how he's trying to give Will that advice about, you stand up. That demon, or don't back down, like his advice, and how that advice backfired. Because normally, in 80s movies, remember, when you get the nice advice from the parent or the parental figure, it's gonna work out for you. So you felt safe. It's like, oh man, he's gonna do it. It's like, oh shit, they just turned it right around on us, and wow, they flipped it. It actually backfired. I thought that was kind of cool and sad at the same time.
The thing with Bob is he was so nice. I'm like, for sure, he's in on it. He's in on this. There's no way. There's no way he's just this nice. And they proved me wrong. I was pleasantly surprised because the whole time I was like, just please don't be evil.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they didn't go with that obvious twist of making him so nice that you think that, well, here comes the twist. It never happened. I was really happy that they decided to go that way.
But that damn twist to kill him, oh man, that was just a kick in the nuts. Like, oh man, damn it. He helped out and was saving the day, and oh damn it, they had to kill off Bob. I hated that. What about Bob? it's another movie, but what about Bob? Poor guy. So yeah, I did like that they brought that in. So they did quite a bit in Season 2. Enjoyed it all, even the somewhat lackluster side episode with Eleven and her journey, which did feel, yes, like I said, very out of place, but like I said, it was just character development and building up the character, so I understood what they were doing. I appreciate it more the second time I watched, but I can understand people when they first seen it, it did feel off. It didn't even feel like you were watching Stranger Things. You felt like you were watching some completely different TV show. That's how different it was, but I understand where they were going. Go ahead,
Tyler's not going to say anything. He's going to sit back there. He's getting grumpy again.
I don't have anything to be grumpy about right now, though. I'm pretty even keel. I think I got out all my rage and rants and stuff like that earlier. There's nothing to be upset about with Stranger Things. There's no negative thoughts or connotations to share. It was both seasons were masterpieces through and through. Ups and downs, highs and lows. They were all good, whether you hated to see people go or not. It was a fantastic series, and it'll just be a. I think season 3 will. I'm sure it will deliver. I have no doubt that it will deliver. I'm kind of hoping that there will be something a little bit more different outside, you know, the whole Demogorgon mythology. Maybe something that kind of keeps it all connected, so to speak. But it'd be interesting to see the boys, you know, tackle something different that's been leaked out from Hawkins Lab or something like that. You know, maybe some sort of mutant creation or something like that. You know, but I mean, it's a phenomenal show. I mean, I mean, you can't really, even with the spin, that one-off episode, it's not enough to really feel like there's anything negative to say about this show. There really isn't. You know, people say, oh, it's got too much 80s stuff. And I'm like, how is it too much 80s? Like,
that's where it is. It's supposed to be in the 80s. So how can you have too much 80s when it's the 80s?
So many movies and shows sit there and say they're taking place in the 80s and there's nothing authentic about it. You know, from the furniture to the wood paneling houses to where they're dressed, the music, the hairstyles of both the guys and the girls, you know, and you may be thinking like, well, how do these boys get movie posters, you know, in the 80s? And like, well, I'm sure they probably got them from the local movie theater. You know, these boys go to the movie theater all the time, get movie posters for free for the guys who own the movie house, which is why Will has got a Jaws movie poster in his room. Mike's got one of The Thing. You know, it was just a great way of saying that these boys love movies, just like, you know, us, the three of us and people who listen to this podcast and others out there, they love these kinds of films. It's an all you can eat buffet of 80s fandom. I mean, it's got everything. I almost feel like I would be kind of running in circles trying to praise the hell out of this show because it's a perfect show. It really is.
No, it is. I mean, for those who've already seen it, I mean, you know how great it is. And for those who haven't seen it, I mean, you definitely have to see Stranger Things. Like I said, they have two seasons on Netflix. Watch them anytime you want, but it's well worth it. If you are a super fan of the 80s, see it. And if you're just a fan of just good, you know, adventures of kids coming together and then family and everything, just anything, any kind of like sci-fi, if you're just into that stuff, I can't picture you watching Stranger Things and thinking, wow, that sucked. So, yeah.
Mom too, you know, we got to emphasize that.
Oh, you want to talk about how hot Mike's mom is, huh?
I'm just saying, if you want hot moms, you need to check out Stranger Things because of Mike's hot mom.
Yeah, Billy, he definitely he approves.
Nancy too. Nancy's hot as hell too. So
yeah. There you go. Poor Barb, damn it, we'll never see her again. So
hey, you don't know that. You don't know that she might.
Maybe she'll come back as some Demogorgon creature slash human slash
in curly hair.
Exactly, a big Demogorgon with hair and over giant glasses. Like, what the hell are they going to get these giant glasses from? And it's Barb. She mutated into a damn Demogorgon.
And then Tyler's going to be like, well, yeah, all right, this sucks. I would probably agree if they did that at that point.
Oh, yeah. Right. Michael Bay's done it behind us. I know it. You know.
Oh, Jesus. They fart. Well,
ball jokes and pot jokes. Oh, man, it's so funny. He said the pot.
There you go. Well, before we wrap it up, obviously, Nathan will be wrapping us up here. But everybody that was in the chat room, I always say thank you for joining us and all your comments and questions and everything. And I feel bad if we didn't get to as many of the comments as usual because we went on rants. But, you know, I was still trying to acknowledge everybody. I believe I acknowledged everybody was in the chat room and try to still acknowledge some of the questions. So, like I said, if I didn't get to everything, I apologize. But we're ranting. When we rant, sometimes we get a little too excited. And we still hope you enjoyed it for that aspect. But I did shout out everybody, so I do appreciate, we all appreciate when you guys are here and hoping you enjoy the show. But I'm going to pass this off to Nathan so he can do our wrapping up.
Before Tyler, like, jumps in and says everything like we did in that Rambo episode. Anyway, check us out, Beyond Retro, on Facebook. There you can see, like, myself, Tyler, Joe. We post and kind of tag all that stuff. So look for us on Facebook. Search for Doug Turner on YouTube because that's where all of these get posted. PopCultureNetwork.com. You can go to Podbean. If you go to Podbean and search Beyond Retro and even Fans of Power, the other podcasts these guys do, you'll see all the list in order starting from the newest going down. And next week, I don't know what you guys are going to do. I might not be here. And there's probably going to be a little bit of shaking up. We might not be doing this when we do it. We might not be doing it live on YouTube. We might be, we might not be. We might have another means, and you guys might have to wait for it to be uploaded on YouTube. Unfortunately, well, fortunately for me, financially, I have a new job, but unfortunately, I have to work on Fridays. So we'll work out the kinks amongst ourselves to get that figured out to see what we're going to do. But I might not be here next week when you guys do it. I don't know if you have a topic that you're already kind of working through your mind.
We haven't gone past this because that's been like the big thing of like how we're going to make this work. We may try to work on like getting Facebook Live, you know, on like a Saturday morning, like a Saturday like noon or something like that. I don't know. We're tinkering around some ideas that we're all three of us can make it, but we don't know if we can use three people in Facebook Live. So we're still trying to work and figure out how we're going to make this change happen so that way the trifecta is not broken.
Right. That is what we're trying to figure out is a different way. I mean, we're not going to be able to do it on, YouTube Live like this. But if we could do it on Facebook Live, I mean, everybody here in the chat room, hopefully, I'm sure you know all of us on Facebook. So we'll definitely keep you posted on Facebook then if we're able to do that live on Facebook. And yeah, JSP, new time slot, and we're not trying to pull an MYP thing like with the Masters of the Universe cartoon where we're here, we're there, you forget about us, when the hell are we at? We're going to try to figure out a new time, a new way to format it, but either way, you can still be able to interact with us. So if we are able to get this going on Facebook Live, you'll still be able to interact just like you do here on YouTube. So we'll keep you posted. We'll see what we're going to do, but I'm sure it should work out pretty well.
Yeah. So even if that doesn't work with Facebook Live for whatever reason, you know, you guys that are always with us in the chat, please feel free on those episodes either in the comments when we post them or on the comments on the actual like YouTube link itself, feel free to like make the comments, ask questions, suggest things, say stuff, and we can come around to it on the next episode and kind of answer everything or, you know, kind of respond to what you had to say.
Yeah, so we'll figure it out. But and Nathan, did you tell them about Beyond Retro Facebook page? I think you might have. I didn't know if my mind went.
I started with that one, but I kind of feel like most of these guys see us post about it most of the time through, I don't know, like I feel like most of them come through you, Joe. Most of the ones that are your friends have kind of like on Facebook have sort of intertwined into it.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll see. So like I said, it should work out. We're going to keep it going, but yeah, we just don't have a topic yet because we got to figure out, but we should be all set by next week. We'll definitely keep you guys posted. Yeah. So, all right. Well, Nathan said his closing things. I didn't know if he had anything to say, Tyler, before we wrap it up, and then we'll just wrap this up and yeah, that will be it.
Tyler's going to go see Jumanji this weekend. He's going to go see it. I am 110% certain. I can't wait to hear this review.
Well, we'll see what happens. Whatever film is seen. But if it is Jumanji, I'll let Nathan know.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, again, thank you for joining us in the chat room. And hope you enjoy the episode. And we will see you next week at some different time.
Later.
See you guys.